Welcome to TBT, a movie podcast where we relive our childhoods through movies. I'm Olivia.
And I'm Miranda. And today we're going to talk to you about Hairspray from 2007 and like Good Morning Baltimore, except not good morning, good night, because it is firmly nighttime right now.
Yes. Ultra Clutch Hairspray, to be specific on that type. What is your favorite hairspray? I totally didn't even think of this question until just now.
I think it's a Tresemme, like, soft hold, like, not a strong hold.
Yeah, I can't.
Because I'm only ever using hairspray on, like, my curled hair. Like, I'm never using hairspray on regular, like, I don't know.
Yeah, same.
Normal, so.
Same. I can't have that shoulder kink. Nobody wants that.
Except I have started using hairspray on a bun.
Okay, yeah, if you want a loose, messy bun, just, like, keep it shaped, basically. I don't know.
Yeah. And 100% we'll be doing that tomorrow morning because not washing my hair.
Yeah, I get that. I definitely love the Joico one, the keratin Joico one. I mean, I get it from, like, TJ Maxx, let's be real. And then I also really like the Sebastian Reshaper. Mm-hmm. It's great. I do love that. It's a classic. Which is funny because, like, I've recently upgraded all of my hair care products. So, like, now I'm, like, using Sebastian, like,
I'm
shampoo.
I'm so proud of you.
Because, like, I honestly feel like my hair needs it. It's asking me to be like, okay, girl, it's leader sale time. Get your shit together. So.
Oh, my God, the leader sale. I got Joico shampoo and conditioner during the leader sale. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it has done nothing. But, you know, it feels good. And honestly, like, it doesn't even smell that good. Because I got it online and I didn't smell it. Wouldn't have bought it.
I got this in store. Yeah, I got
it. So I've had it for so long.
I have literal 2 liter of product now. But I got the Sebastian something or other, but it's specifically for
blondes.
Yeah, for blonde upkeep. Like, dyed blonde hair. Not even just blonde hair. Dyed blonde hair.
TBH, I might join you in sometime soon.
Blonde hair?
I'm thinking about a nice little balayage. And, like, there will be some bleach involved.
Oh, I like that. Okay. Yeah, so, no, I like that. I like that for you. I thought you meant, like, full blonde. I'm like, excuse me?
I would look crazy.
I mean, I think you would need a nice tan to go with it. Like,
okay,
I just don't think anybody looks good with blonde hair without a tan, including myself, which is why I use fake tan.
I will correct you on that. Do you know who I'm going to say?
Maybe Gwyneth Paltrow?
One Dove Cameron.
Oh, get out of here. Whatever.
Never has a tan.
No, she doesn't. And she could... I would like to see her with one.
Okay. Well, she's letting her hair, like, get darker. I think she's, like, tweeted that she's, like, trying to go back to her natural hair color, which, like, she's like, oh, it's, like, a light blonde. I'm like, it's a medium brown.
Same. Yeah. Same. That's what we all tell people.
But I love her. It's fine.
We know. So the running time on this ridiculously long movie was an hour and 57 minutes.
But I will say, like, the last 10 minutes are credits. You can just stop at an hour and 47 minutes, thankfully. I didn't really fast forward through any of the songs, which I think was a mistake.
Yep. I had two for, like, 2 songs. But it's
but the
literally
songs,
almost
I feel like they really add musical. A lot. Like, the songs are good and they're important.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was a couple that I thought I was going to be fast forwarding through, and then I'm like, oh shit, there's stuff happening. But it's a true musical, I think probably the first, like, true musical where, like, there is actual, like, plot development via song, so, like, you can't just fast, and it's a stage musical made into a movie, so it's literally just singing.
If you skip the song, you skip those, like, pregnant ladies in the bar smoking. And, like, that was jarring.
Honestly, just, like, I don't remember this from when this came out in 2007. It was just the random shit that was going on in this movie. I'm just like, what?
When she's, like, talking to the rats, you're like, what?
Yeah. There's just, like, weird shit going on this entire movie. And, like,
I didn't remember anything about, like, Velma trying to seduce Christopher Walken like that.
I remembered it. Still have no idea why. Like, don't really get what the point was. Like, what does your parents being pissed at each other have to do with you being on a TV show? Like, one doesn't have anything to do with the other.
Maybe she thought that, like, the mom would lash out and, like,
take her off the show. But, like,
yeah.
I mean, clearly this girl cable does not
production.
Yeah, and like clearly this girl like does not do anything she is told. So
no, obviously not.
So who directed? So the director of this movie was Adam Shankman, who I would like to say
we've talked about that, him before.
I don't know. What have we talked about him in?
Let me Google it, but you talk about him for a second.
Okay. Well, I would like to say he's very attractive. For anybody who might have a contact with Adam Shankman, if he is not married, please give him my number. So
you have to get the number first.
What?
They'll have to get your number first.
Oh yeah, but like that's the easy part. Let's be real. At Mac is cheesy.
maybe we haven't, but I feel like we talked about like all of these very, movies like, before.
Yeah, so, he's very adjacent to the movies that we've talked about, but like,
okay,
not necessarily. I don't know if we've ever talked about him, but he is very attractive. So his known for it also does not look like he would be directing the movies that he has directed.
Yeah. Also, this is a no from me. Like, I just need you to know that.
Really? Okay. I think he's super hot. Anyway, so A Walk to Remember from 2002, Hairspray.
Oh, obviously the last song. Step Up.
Really? No. Yeah. Oh, okay. Are you sure he... I don't think he directed them. Was he a producer?
Yeah. Yeah, apparently. I'm... Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Ignore me.
Okay, so Hairspray and then The Pacifier from 2005. He was a producer. And Rock of Ages from 2012. He was also a producer. I definitely knew I knew his name. But I think it was, like, he's, like, a very famous producer. Like, he definitely is in the know.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's a lot of credits on here.
He has a ton of producer credits, for sure.
Yeah, wild. Wow. Yeah. Starring known fors.
There's
a lot. Whose known fors are Hairspray, 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 and The Hairspray. No, they're Hairspray Geography Club from 2013. This is 40, the soundtrack from 2012.
I want to know what song she's singing. This is 40.
Dear God. And Waiting for Forever from 2010.
Did This Is 40 need a soundtrack? Like, did that need to happen?
I don't think so. A movie that I still haven't seen.
I mean, it's basically like Knocked Up Part 2. Like, did we really need that? Like, what are our neighbors from Knocked Up doing? Like, that's what it is. Wow. So it's like, okay. Soundtrack not necessary.
Genuinely a great question. I'm Googling and I genuinely can't figure out, like, what song she sang. Like, so Tracy, you literally type in, like, This Is 40, Nikki, and Blonsky just doesn't come up.
Google search it. Google fill in is like, no, we don't know what you're talking about. Wow. So she played Tracy Turnblad. Next up we have, playing Edna Turnblad was John Travolta. His known fors are Battlefield Earth from 2000, Hairspray, weirdly, Face/Off from 1997, Pulp Fiction from 1994. So I would like to add, how is neither Grease nor Saturday Night Fever on this list? Like, I don't understand. I'm very confused.
I don't know. I also will have you know, I've seen one of his movies. Like, one Which of these one? Known fors I've seen.
Please tell me Face/Off.
Hairspray.
Oh.
Okay. I thought you meant
one of the other ones.
Okay. Oh my god, no.
That's super helpful. Thank you for adding that good piece of information. I would assume you had seen Hairspray.
John Travolta is just not my vibe.
Okay, but even outside of his involvement generally in the Church of Scientology, his bio is like really interesting. Like, he has like the craziest bio.
I don't know. Like, I thought you were going to say like he has the craziest body, and I was just like, what?
No. I mean, he's fluctuates, so it is crazy how his body is that way. But no,
yeah,
like
guys,
I'm
so tired.
I for sure recommend like reading up on John Travolta. He's like very like not even like good or bad, he's just like interesting.
Yeah.
So he actually met and fell in love with Diana Hyland, who was 18 years older than him, in 1976 while filming The Boy in the Plastic Bubble. And she was diagnosed with breast cancer in 1977, and not even a year later, and died in his arms on March 27th, 1977. So, wow. Like, he had this like whirlwind romance with this woman who was almost 20 years older than him, and like within a year she was diagnosed with cancer, had a double mastectomy, and died.
Wow. Yikes.
Like, how crazy is that? I mean, wow. So, like, that's, it's, like, weird stuff like that. Not, like, a lot. But, I mean, like, and, like, his son dying randomly in the Bahamas. Like, just, like, he has a lot of weird things that happen in his life. Like, even completely negating Scientology, you know? Like, this was before Scientology that this happened. Like, just weird stuff in his life. So, also, like, his pilot stuff. Like, he has a lot of, like, interesting pilot licensures and things. Like, he just is a very interesting person. I'm not saying he's, like, yeah. my favorite actor in the world, but very interesting.
I will say, like, when you Google him, one of the top stories, you know, Google likes to put those on top. One of them is John Travolta says his new shaved head is here to stay. Quote, oh, it feels great.
That's probably my hair is gone. So, yeah, the shaved head's here.
I can't afford hair plugs anymore. Scientology has taken all of my money.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
We read between the lines here.
Yeah, we tell you what things really mean in case you don't know.
We're translators, honestly.
Exactly. We're in the know. We are truly in the know.
Okay, so up next is Christopher Walken, who I did not remember was in this movie, playing Wilbur Turnblad. His known fours are Hairspray, Catch Me If You Can from 2002, The Deer Hunter from 1978, and Seven Psychopaths from 2012.
Sounds like my kind of guy, honestly.
Yeah.
Catch Me If You Can, I don't remember him in Catch Me. I think he was the dad in Catch Me If You Can, but like, really, when you're in a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks, like, you're not going to be remembered. I'm sorry.
No. I do think it's interesting how many of these people have Hairspray on their known fours.
Okay, that's what I thought was crazy. Like, these huge people, this like Christopher Walken.
This movie made so much money, I think.
We will see.
It's in the notes, but I haven't read them.
Yeah, definitely, I definitely did not realize this movie, like, was this important to so many people. It is in literally everyone's... except for one person who you will never guess.
It's in her cell. Oh, wait, it's there. Never mind.
I was thinking it was Queen Latifah for some reason, but no, it's in hers too. What's funny, Christopher Walken, the only thing I know about him is like literally every comedian in the entire world has an impression of him. Male, female, everybody.
So, one thing I need you, Olivia, to know is that yesterday and the day before, I watched Zac Efron's Vogue 73 Questions.
Wait, is this new or old?
I don't know. It just came up in my recommended. And
what
I was
color
like,
hair does he have?
Yeah, brown. Okay. I'll send it to you.
So it's not that new.
No.
It's not the last 24 hours.
It's not like
new.
Ted Bundy. Okay. But yeah, it came up in my recommended because I've been doing a lot of, you know, procrastinating. And Zac Efron did a Christopher Walken impression.
You've got to be fucking kidding me.
Absolutely not. Do you think I can get away with, like, posting that on the Instagram?
Yes, please. Okay. Oh, my God, that's so funny. I love that.
I will send you the link.
Okay, so the next person is Amanda Bynes.
I clicked on 73 questions with Zac Efron, and it brought up everything John Cena does in a day. That's not what I want.
Equally as valuable of information, though, honestly.
I am having a hard time today.
Everything John Cena does in a day.
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched it. It was interesting.
I love him so much. I don't know why, but I just, like, love him. I feel like he's, like, genuinely such a nice person, and, like, he does so much charity work, like, it's not even funny, but, like, I feel like he's misunderstood.
Okay, back to Hairspray, please.
All right, not in this movie, John Cena, surprisingly.
But honestly, like, him playing Edna Turnblad.
It would be so good. Like, wearing the costume from the segment of Jimmy Fallon.
100%.
Okay, so Amanda Bynes played Penny Pingleton, and if you'd
love
like
that
to know...
her name is Penny.
Yeah, it kind of fits. It works for her.
Yeah. It's just wild that, like, who has played this role? Amanda Bynes and also Ariana Grande.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I was doing a lot of thinking about Hairspray Live, as one does.
Well, and then we have, like, another, like, and then, what's her name? Vanessa Hutchins was, wasn't she in?
No, she was in Rent and Grease.
Oh, Grease is what I'm thinking of. Yeah. My bad. Never mind.
And then I was thinking about the Tracy Turnblad connection, because Maddie Bio, I think is her name, she was in Dumplin'. She was the cool girl. Not the cool girl, but you know what I mean? Like, the one that we liked in Dumplin'.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, yeah. I don't know. I was just, like, doing a lot of thinking about Hairspray Live. That's it. That's all I need to say.
Okay. But if you'd like to know the known for...
Mostly because I was like, who plays Lynn Clarkin? Okay.
Oh, okay.
It's not the same, though, when you're not, you know, a child.
Yeah, true.
I was like, oh, he's a child. Never mind.
Yeah, it's different when they're, like, high schoolers, and you're like, I'm 25.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I'm not, but...
I mean, well, and, like, I'm 26, so I was, like, averaging our age, and I'm like, oh, this isn't cute anymore. Like, it's weird now,
you know? I'm still
23. I was averaging up, okay? Good Lord.
Okay, you rounded up.
Yeah, thank you. 24 and a half, whatever. Yeah, but if you'd like to know more information about Amanda Bynes, you will find much more detailed accounts on our TBT episodes all about What a Girl Wants and She's the Man. So go back and find those, please. Thank you.
Yeah, and listen to them. Like, they're good episodes.
Honestly, She's the Man is still one of my favorite episodes.
Honestly, What a Girl Wants is... still my favorite.
Especially considering the Love Actually of it all. I still don't know who Colin Firth is, and you, like, still don't know who that is. Like, what?
Oh, my God. Okay, great, cool. Zac Efron, Lynn Clarkin, see all of our other episodes we've done about High School Musical.
Yeah, all three.
Because, like, if you haven't listened to them yet, you should anyway.
I mean, those are, like, classics, so yeah. Come on.
I need to know how Ashley Tisdale never played the next person.
She would have been really good on it because so she kind good. Of did in
she played Charmaine, High School.
Yeah,
same.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Brittany Snow plays Amber Von Tussle. Her known fours are Pitch Perfect from 2012, Hairspray, Pitch Perfect 2 from 2015, and Prom Night from 2008.
And I need to say, like, that's another person that we've talked about before because of John Tucker Must Die.
That's what it was. I knew we had talked about her, but, and, like, I think I even, like, went through my notes and tried to find Brittany Snow, but I couldn't find it. That's who it was. Thank you. Yeah. And go find it.
I also, like, what is she doing? I feel like she's probably working, but I feel like I haven't seen her in, oh she's Pitch Perfect. That's why I don't watch those anymore. Her most recent role on IMDb is called Stripped, and her character's name is Penny. Love that.
I can see that for her.
How much money do you think she's made from Pitch Perfect?
I don't know. I don't think she's made, like, Rebel Wilson money, but I think she's made, like...
I don't,
like,
think Rebel Wilson has made Brittany Snow money, because I think Brittany Snow was more in demand, number one, and that's, I think, the one that made the most money.
Yeah, but I think those are the first one is the one that made the most money, but I think, like, up front, like, contract
then
money.
Then you get more money after.
Yeah, right, like, I don't think Brittany Snow's, like her pay increase was, like, as steep as Rebel Wilson's was.
Yeah. So, Brittany Snow was also in the show that I remember, and I guarantee you that, like, Olivia doesn't remember. It was called American Dreams. It was on from 2002 to 2005. And it was, like, a drama based around a Hairspray-type production. I think they were on, like, American Bandstand. And it was, like, very Hairspray-ish. It had 3 seasons and literally, like, 60 episodes.
Okay, yeah, nope. I have no clue what you're talking about. Nope.
Okay, great. Yeah.
But that's a good thing to know. Yeah, I
don't recognize any of these other names except Brittany Snow. And I was like, I feel like she was in something else that's similar to this. And turns out, correct. I remembered. I watched it.
Well, you know, good for you. You have a great memory, honestly.
Honestly, I don't, but thank you.
But I do, I think, like, Brittany Snow stands out in a cast, I think. Obviously not that much because I couldn't remember where the hell we talked about her. But, like, I think she is one of those people that, like, her voice is so different. And, like,
and
she
she's
has,
very
like,
recognizable.
Like, she has a very different look than, like, I mean, she's gorgeous. And she has, like, big, very beautiful blue eyes. Like, she's a standout look, too. So, like.
Yeah, and she always plays someone, like, a little neurotic.
Totally, 100%.
So, anyway.
But, like, in the best way.
So, we also have playing her mom, Velma Von Tussle. We have Michelle Pfeiffer, which is a name that, like, I've heard a million times, but I had to look up who she was. Like, I didn't recognize her.
I feel like her heyday was, like, late 80s, early 90s.
Okay. Despite what her IMDb. Isn't there, like, a song with, like, her name in the lyrics?
Oh,
I don't know. I might be thinking of something else. No, her name was our Hairspray One Fine Day from 1996, What Lies Beneath from 2000, and Dangerous Minds from 1995.
Hold on.
And I'm Googling her to figure out what song.
Yeah, I was doing this. I think it's
Uptown Funk.
Okay, yeah. There we go.
Michelle Pfeiffer, that white gold. That one?
Yeah.
I think that's the words.
Yep, that's it. So, this might not be a hot take, but I really don't like Michelle Pfeiffer. She's obviously gorgeous, but I think she's, like, a really bad actress. But I will give it to her. I think she has really good representation, and she gets roles that, like, she isn't. Like, I could have, I think you, this, everything I've seen Michelle Pfeiffer ever do, I feel like someone could have done it better, you know? Oh. Like, easily.
Apparently it's talking about her role in Scarface, which is weirdly not one of her known fours, even though it seems like it would be. And apparently she's also referenced in Vance Joy's Riptide, where he says, the closest thing to Michelle Pfeiffer that you've ever seen. Do you know that song?
Oh, probably yeah. Not. I didn't. Okay. Yeah, because the red dress in Scarface, like with the really high slit. Like she's like.
I mean, a movie I haven't seen.
So. I've definitely seen that, like, poster of her or whatever. Or, like, that, like, image of her definitely pops up. But, like, I also think she, like, this is also going to sound terrible, but, like, she's like,
fine.
Like a poor man's Cameron Diaz. Like, I think,
oof.
Like, she looks a lot like Cameron Diaz, but, like, Cameron Diaz does it better, you know?
Honestly, one could only dream of being a poor man's Cameron Diaz. Like, no, if which, anyone like, ever.
Obviously, Michelle Pfeiffer is gorgeous, and, you know, like, she's great at things, I'm sure, but, like, I feel like.
I think she's much older than Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, I think she is, but, like, I feel like Cameron Diaz, like, does Michelle Pfeiffer better than Michelle Pfeiffer does, you know?
Actually, maybe she's not, because Cameron Diaz is older than you think she is.
Yeah, for sure, but I think she's, like, has always played young.
Oh, no, she's firmly 14 years older than Cameron Diaz.
Cool. So, okay, yeah. So, like, maybe like, Cameron Diaz
Google
is, like,
today.
My generation's, like, or, like, you know, like, the millennial Michelle Pfeiffer, and that's why I like her more, but, like, I just, like, feel like Cameron Diaz does Michelle Pfeiffer better than Michelle Pfeiffer does. So, I'm gonna put that out there for the world.
So, also in this movie.
At me, bitches.
Also in here is James Marsden playing Corny Collins. I can't believe his name is Corny.
I think of, like, feet corns.
Oh, I think of something else.
Okay.
I'll tell you later. Remind me.
You know what
me.
Goes well with corny? Cheesy.
Oh, my God. I can't. Just, like, a little corn nut. He's known for his Hairspray, X-Men from 2000, Enchanted from 2007, and 27 Dresses from 2008. These are known for is that I have a 75% success rate on.
I've actually seen the original X-Men, so I have 100%. I also love James Marsden, so.
Yeah, that's pretty good, honestly. No, 75% for me is really good.
Well, and considering some of the weird-ass movies that get into these people's known for, it's like, 75% is solid.
Yeah. So, in 1991, what a time, he was vacationing with his family in Hawaii, and he met actor brother-sister duo Kirk Cameron and Candace Cameron Burr?
She became Candace Cameron Bure from Full House.
Yeah, but I feel like I've heard people say Bure.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
So that was why I was pausing. Anyway, and their family invited Marsden to visit them in Los Angeles and thus began his career, which is, like, the, like...
You've had the same thought I did.
It's a slightly different because mine is just like these are rich people things.
Oh yeah, like the whitest,
I cannot relate to this, like making friends on vacation in Hawaii.
This is the this is the definition of white privilege. Like this is like,
oh my god, it's the definition of like pretty privilege as well. Is something that I like to say.
Sure.
Specifically, pretty privilege. The best example I can give is like Lala Kent. And
truly, that girl is like living under she is the pretty privilege umbrella. Like she makes the shade for people like James Marsden because of her.
Yeah.
James Marsden can exist, but like kind of the opposite.
So. Speaking of Lala Kent, the Gotti connection too.
Oh my god, John Travolta.
I forgot John Travolta.
The worst movie in the history of all movies. It takes true effort.
James Kennedy.
It takes effort to get a zero on Rotten Tomatoes.
I think Olivia's James Kennedy is my favorite thing she does.
I'm the female white Kanye.
So if Olivia's James Kennedy makes it sound like he like
had
a stroke. 1850 and we're in like South London.
I'm Sherlock Holmes, James Kennedy.
Sherlock Holmes is North London, but like what? Try again.
Oh my god, you think I can do I don't know who Colin Firth is, okay? I cannot distinguish Colin Firth and Hugh Grant through several movies. So.
No, it's not even that you can't distinguish them. You thought they were the wrong ones.
Yeah. Like
it's not even that they're interchangeable and sometimes you get it right. It's that you thought it was the other way around.
Forever. And, like, still not super clear. So... I think there's a trick going. I do think there's a trick going on. And one of these days, you can be like, longest running prank in the history of my life.
Okay.
Anyway.
Anyway, keep going.
So, lastly is Queen Latifah, who plays Motormouth Maybelle. Her known for is Chicago from 2002, Hairspray, Bringing Down the House from 2003, and Taxi from 2004. She was born Dana Elaine Owens, which I think is a really pretty name.
Yeah.
And she has sold nearly 2 million
but
records.
But now she's a queen, so.
Yeah, now she's queen. She changed Dana Elaine to queen.
Yeah. Quick and question, Owens Olivia. Who's the person I just texted you? Who is that?
I want to play this game. I don't like this. Okay.
Who is that? Easy. Who is that?
So I'm going to have to say, because I want to say it's Hugh Grant, it's got to be Colin Firth. I'm going to final answer on Colin Firth.
Wow.
Is that it?
Okay. I mean, who knows?
This is solid podcasting.
It's really good.
All right. Well,
yeah,
that's
I
cool.
I need to go to bed.
All right, so she sold nearly 2 million records worldwide as a rapper and has been dubbed the queen of jazz rap and hip-hop's first lady.
Okay, hip-hop's first lady is great. Queen of jazz rap?
Her name
is anyone contesting that title?
So this is the same person.
Oh, great. Good. Who is it?
It's gotta be
Colin Firth.
I
sent Olivia another photo.
It's gotta be Colin Firth.
Great.
I'm going final answer on Colin Firth because, like, I assumed it was Hugh Grant, so I'm gonna go the opposite. Like, literally, if I had to name this person,
it's just wild to me because it's like these people look so different.
He looks like a Hugh.
Okay, great.
Anyway, so this is sad. Queen Latifah's older brother, Lance Owens, was killed in a 1992 motorcycle accident while riding a bike she had purchased for him, and she still wears the keys on a necklace to this day.
Oh my god, ouch. That's rough. I'm sorry for yawning. I'm genuinely sad about that.
Okay, so I guess this one's Hugh. It's gotta be Hugh.
I sent Olivia another picture. It was before I found out Queen Latifah's brother died. I'm sorry. Yeah,
you're welcome.
Okay.
Box office, please.
Box office. We had a $75 million budget. $27.5 million in the U.S. on its opening weekend, which was the best opening weekend ever for a musical until Mamma Mia opened in 2008. Mamma Mia! And then it made $118.9 million gross in the U.S. and $203 million gross worldwide. Question.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I definitely should have asked, like, before... right now. Like, it's something that I feel like I should have gotten clarified quite a while ago. When we say 118.9 in the U.S. and 203 worldwide, does that worldwide include the U.S.?
Yes.
Okay, great. I thought that it would, but I was like, the movie business would do something dumb like that.
Yeah, no, it definitely, includes the U.S.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
This trivia fact, I'm reading it for the first time, and I am shook.
Yeah. It's like, did you read the script? Okay, so it wasn't until halfway through filming that Michelle Pfeiffer realized that her character is actually racist and became concerned of what people would think of her. But director Adam Shankman reassured her, so she stayed and completed the role.
I mean, no one thinks that she's racist. I think she's dumb because it took her until halfway through the movie to realize this.
Exactly. Because, exactly.
I mean, Velma Von Tussel is racist in far more than half of her scenes. Almost all of them. Arguably all of them.
Like, did you even read the script before saying yes to this movie? Because, like, if you read it, I don't think she did.
I think she was probably just like, oh, Hairspray. Like, people know Hairspray. I'll do Hairspray. Yeah.
Because when I was watching the movie after having this fact, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, what did they, where did she get that impression? Like, what?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was, I thought that was interesting.
Not ideal. Also not ideal, but honestly, like, a little bit ideal. Amanda Bynes was eating 40 lollipops a day during shooting, and her father, who's a dentist, became concerned about her dental health, and she assured him that she was throwing out at least half of them every day, which it was completely a lie. And it's like, your father's a dentist, couldn't he have, like, gotten you, like, sugar-free lollipops or something? Then honestly, the bloating, we've all been there, but we've all eaten too many mints, maybe that wouldn't have worked either. But I feel like there must be a way to, like, I just give her, like, a marble on a stick.
Well, and like, how, what kind of crappy ass lollipops were you eating that you were going through 40 a day? Or, like,
they,
you couldn't
last
take them
much longer.
Yeah, like, you couldn't take it out of your mouth between scenes. Like, it was like she was, like, perfectly cool with consuming this large amount of lollipops.
That's true. Didn't she say, maybe this is too early, Amanda Bynes, but didn't she say that, like, she was doing, like, a lot of weed? I love that I just said doing weed.
in one form or another.
That she was like, well, now you never know.
Also, I like that it's doing weed. Like, it's, like, doing meth. Like, it's, like, not quite the same. I feel like saying doing implies it's much worse than it actually probably is. I have heard that for her it was pretty shitty.
During Hairspray, though, was that before? Because I feel like... I don't know.
2007 was pretty, like, late, you know, it was, like, we're getting to pretty, I think, like, this is after her peak, for sure.
No, but she also had, like, years until Easy A.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Because Easy A is a movie I would love to talk about, and we have not been able to yet. It's a 2010 movie, so.
Okay. But, I mean, only 3 years, so. But I think, like, it's after, like, I would say, I think, like, personally, her peak is, like, What a Girl Wants and She's the Man. So, like, this is after, like, not well, like, a couple years after She's the Man. I'm pretty sure She's the Man was 2005. So, I mean, like, she's not at her peak anymore, I don't think, in this movie.
You meant, like, today, and I was like, no. Yeah.
No. Oh, no. Yeah, so I don't know, possibly, which would, like, definitely account for the... Well, it's not like lollipops are, like, calorie loaded or anything like that. Like, you could, you know...
I mean, no, but...
I mean, it's a lot of sugar. It's empty calories, of course, but, like...
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, so it took John Travolta 4 hours to put on the 30-pound fat suit and 5 gel-filled silicone face prosthetics to become Weird. Edna Turnblad.
It took me, like, a year to put on my 40-pound fat suit.
I think I did more and less, so, you know, you're welcome. So the hair and makeup process was kind of a bitch for most of the cast, actually. Amanda Bynes' braided pigtails took 2 hours, and Elijah Kelly sat through over an hour of hairdressing every day.
Wow, so much. Who's yeah. Elijah Kelly?
He plays Seaweed.
Who's Seaweed?
Seaweed is, like, the black guy.
Oh, I didn't hear his name. I'm gonna be honest with you. Oops.
Oh my god. My bad. His name is, like, said in song several times. Anyway, continue forward.
Oh, well, it's the song.
You were paying close attention. Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I think you're just, like, somebody being called, like, Baby Teeth on Riverdale. You're just like, what?
Baby Teeth?
Oh, you were... I forgot how behind you are.
Yeah, I called my sister Baby Teeth all the time because her teeth are, like, tiny.
Olivia, there was a character on Riverdale whose name was Baby Teeth.
Like, I didn't know anybody else thought, like, Baby Teeth was, like, having small... Like, I always tell them,
well,
her teeth
alert, they don't.
Yeah, because, like, her teeth are too small. Like, they're not... I mean, like, they're not, but, like, she's, like, tiny little teeth compared to, like, you know...
I mean, you kind of do, too. So.
No, I don't! Not compared to her.
Okay. I didn't pay attention to Noelle's teeth. But,
I mean, my teeth are very much more normal, and mine have, like, been filed down, too, so they're
yeah,
all,
yeah, that's
like,
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, they're not, no, hers are, like, just tiny. They're just, like, small. Weird. They don't take up as much, I don't know, whatever, but yeah, and her, she's, like, the pointy teeth, which, like, I don't know, scares me.
I feel like I have normal-sized teeth.
Yeah, you do. She's the only person I've ever noticed with teeth like that. But yeah, so
reassuring me. You're like
for this and more great information about TBT. please go to tbtamp.com for everything you need to know, and there you also find a link to our Redbubble store where you can buy stuff to support our show. Charity starts at home.
You can keep going.
Oh, okay. Also, while you're listening to the podcast, scroll to the bottom of your Apple Podcast app and select 5 stars. I cannot emphasize this enough.
Please do. I actually didn't even check if anyone else did. I haven't had time. So I didn't even read the notes.
Ditto.
So.
Ditto. And
I
if
mean, you
truly.
Read the notes, at least.
Oh, yeah. I wrote the notes. I wrote the book on the notes. And if you truly love us, you can go the extra mile and leave us a review. So be sure to talk about our podcast to literally anyone who will listen to you, friends, parents, work colleagues, the person in the bathroom stall next to you, on Facebook, anyone, anywhere. Please spread the word of TBT AMP like you would Jesus Christ or like you would Ultra Clutch Hairspray all over your head.
Wow. So we haven't, there aren't any new reviews, I don't think. I'm like scrolling through to make sure. Yeah, no new reviews, but... I think there's more ratings.
Ooh, that's exciting.
So I think we got another rating, but do it anyway.
Yeah, keep it up, guys.
The
this
next one will
honestly,
be number 30.
One new week isn't the worst, so.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's not ideal.
Not ideal, but.
More would be ideal. It's never going to be ideal.
No. Very true.
Yeah.
We like to set high goals for ourselves.
Honestly.
Speaking of high goals, if you'd like to follow me on Twitter or Instagram.
What?
You can slide in. You can follow me at Mac is Cheesy. That's at M-A-C-K is Cheesy.
And I'm at Miranda Johnson, M-I-R-A-N-D-A-J-O-H-N-Z-O-N. I love that I just fully came out of a yawn for that.
you know, whatever. And you can also slide into the DMs of our Instagram for the show at TBT Podcast. Or if you want to pretty much tell us anything at all, you can email us at tbtamp@gmail.com.
Anything.
Yeah, realistically. You just be like, oh my God, Olivia sounds so pretty.
You know how we were talking about
pretty privilege, like Lala? That's Olivia.
Yeah, no, Olivia has pretty voice privilege. I mean, privilege, like, too. You know what I mean? But
I have pretty voice privilege and white
Olivia's
privilege.
Olivia's, like, one of those girls in the beginning of The Devil Wears Prada. It's just, like,
I'm Emily Blunt? Oh, my God, get out of here. Thank you.
Oh, I've never lied so much.
God, you're so mean. Okay.
You can start on the plot, please. Olivia, you're great.
Thanks, you too.
This starts out with 1962, Baltimore.
Set the scene. I had to stop on the newspaper like 5 times to figure out what it said, so.
Good morning. White high schooler. Describing her as white high schooler makes it seem like she, like, shot up a school or something. Like,
white trench coat wearer, Tracy turned black.
Yikes, honestly, that's offense. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. So, white high schooler Tracy turned black wakes up and sings good morning to her city. It's very Belle. It's very
also, like, her city hates her. Like Belle, her city does not like her.
Much like Belle. So in the midst of her singing and dancing in the streets, she misses her bus to school, very goofy movie, and rides the garbage truck instead. I was shook by that. I didn't remember that at all, and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I was like, that is so
That's
gross.
A choice, but I mean, at least she's in the front, so it doesn't smell as much.
Yeah, it's definitely like a look.
She's getting fresh air. So after school, Tracy and her best friend Penny run home in order to dance and sing along with their favorite TV show, The Corny Collins Show, which features many of their whitest classmates demonstrating the latest dance crazes. Not just one. Penny's very prudent mother is very upset when she finds out that her daughter has been watching and replicating such vile programming, just like, you know, this, rather than attending stamp club. Oh my God, I would be so glad that my kid wasn't that much of a nerd to attend stamp club.
Okay, so, like, this was something, I don't know if I had, like, a meta moment or not when I was watching this movie, but I'm like, it's kind of weird that this guy, like, it's weird as, like, an adult. I always look back and, like, at high school, and I'm like, how did I do that? Like, get up that early every day and, like, go to school all day? And, like, one of those moments kind of, like, manifested in that, like, you watch, like, all these kids go to school all day, and then they go to this show where they work in the afternoon, and they, like, somehow learn all these dances and stuff like that. And yet, like, so they have all this stuff on their plate, and yet, like, it's this guy's full-time job to just, like, host the show.
Like, yeah, that whole thing was very confusing, and I don't understand the local cable of it all. Like, it seems like a much bigger deal than a local cable thing. And I feel like this is, like, in modern day, I feel like this would be similar to, like, someone at your school, like, being a YouTuber.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, like, being, yeah.
That's probably what I would, like, equate it to. But it's deeply weird that, like, Tracy opens up her locker and there's pictures of someone who goes to her school and she's never talked to before.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like it would be different if she opens it up and it's, like, a picture of Corny. You know what I mean? Like,
it's
different.
Very clear that she, like, has lived in Baltimore is her city. So she's lived here and presumably gone to school there her entire life. So, like, she's known this kid her entire life. Yeah, like, she knows this kid. So, like, and the fact that, like, he 100% acts like she is in classes with this kid. Let you know this.
Like,
and, like,
okay,
he 100% acts like he has never seen her before in his life.
Imagine, though, like, if there was a kid at your school who had a picture of the hottest guy in school in their locker.
It would be so creepy. Like, it would be so creepy. Like, yeah. I don't even know. Like, honestly, I feel like nowadays, even in my high school, like, if that happened, that person, that whoever that guy or girl was, would probably, like, ask a teacher or administrator, yeah. like, can you please like have them? Yeah, like, could you, one, how did you fucking get my picture? And two, I mean, like, obviously, like, Facebook, if they had, like, a Facebook picture of you, I'd be like, I need you to take that down. Like, or yeah. have, like, a teacher be like.
I feel like you need to go talk to the guidance counselor immediately.
This is highly inappropriate. Please take my picture out of your locker. So,
this thought just occurred to me. Why are Tracy and Penny, like, running home in order to catch this show? And, like, how fast must, like, Amber and Link be running to get to the studio?
Right? They probably have, you know, like, a nice Lincoln Town car.
They have to do their hair and makeup. Like, I just don't understand.
I think the implication is that they, like, go to school in full hair and makeup. Oh. Like, I think... I mean, we're talking about, like, 1960s TV here, like...
But I don't know. Like, the whole thing is very strange to me. Also, it's, like, local television. Like, how much are they really getting done? And
But, like, they have to learn all these choreographed dance numbers and songs and things like that. And it's, like...
They have to do the Bring It On cheer at the beginning.
Yeah. Like, they put a lot of work into the show and, like... probably aren't getting paid, you know? Like, what's the benefit?
They're interns, probably.
Realistically, they're, like, waiting for their shot. But, like, obviously, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. I think that is sort of, like, it's supposed to be, like, a part of the show that, like, all of this is happening. And it's only focused on, like, a local TV station.
Yeah, like, realistically...
It
wouldn't make sense that they all go to school together and everything like that if it wasn't, like, a local show, you know? Like, it's very weird.
And honestly, that would be really cool.
It would be cool, but, like, it's kind of... Isn't that, like, what Fame is about? Like, the show Fame? Isn't that kind of, like, what that is?
Yeah, but that's a performing arts high school.
Okay.
But so I mean, that's, the only way step-up situation?
Yeah, like, the only way this would work is if it was, like, put out there as a performing arts high school, which, like, it clearly is, but, like, isn't necessarily put out that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So, when castmate Brenda is forced to take a 9-month absence from the Corny Collins show, Tracy is inspired to audition herself.
I remember watching this with my just deeply conservative and terrible, like, youth group that I was a part of for a couple of years. I don't know why. Like, this is a very, like, dark part of my, like, history. Literally, we would, like, go to this lady's house. She was so nice, but she had like a yes on Prop 8 sign in her front yard.
Oh,
which is the gay marriage one, and a yes means no. And I remember this, and I'm like, why did I do that? Like, I just don't understand. And we watched this, like, at her house as, like, part of the thing. And I remember it being like, ooh, like, scandalous. She's taking a 9-month break. Like, we all know what that means.
Yeah, I mean, it's very well implied what it means. Like, it's why almost else like it's just
completely,
like,
obvious.
Yeah. Like,
it
wow.
feels like a relic from the stage production. Because, you know, in, like, stage, they have to make things so much more obvious.
Very obvious. Yeah, yeah,
because, like,
yeah,
you can't rewind and you can't zoom in. So, yeah.
No, completely. That's what I think one thing I really did like about this movie was that it a lot of, like, the overt, like, weird, like, that's what, because, like, normally I don't focus on, like, the tiny little details as much, and, like, just, like, the shit that, it was so, like, very obvious in this, like, as it would be in, like, a stage show, that I was just, like, cracking up the whole time. I'm like, oh dear Jesus. Like,
some may say crime.
What?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear what you, okay. So Tracy's mother is immediately against the idea, outwardly telling her that it isn't appropriate for her to dream of being a dancer, but also not so secretly believing her daughter is too heavy to be on TV. Also, Tracy's bat. just mean that. I know I didn't put that anywhere, but, like, I needed...
You know, I think it's interesting that you put white high schooler, not fat high schooler.
Okay, because... fat white high schooler, Tracy Turnblad.
Same.
Ditto. So her father, however, encourages her to follow her dream because, you know, he's a good guy.
He's great.
He also owns a joke shop, so, like, he can't say don't follow your dream, you know?
He's, like, Fred slash George, because I don't remember which one died.
Right?
But, like, grown up and a muggle.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, not like them at all.
Whatever, close enough. I didn't know joke shops were a thing, so, like...
They're not. There's a reason why they lived in that apartment and not, like, Fancy Pants Town. I don't know what's wrong with me.
So the next day at the audition, the station manager, Velma von Tussle, who happens to be the female lead's mother, Amber, flat out tells Tracy she is too fat and her stance on integration will never get her a spot on the show.
I feel like that's not a thing. Like, I feel like your political beliefs, if anything, will only help you in the entertainment industry.
I know. What kind of entertainment industry is this? What are they talking about?
I mean, I guess it's 1963.
Yeah, that's true. 62.
Yeah. When Tracy returns from school after skipping for the audition, she's given detention. I feel like detention only exists in movies, but whatever. So in detention, she meets Seaweed, one of the dancers from the once a month, quote unquote, their words not mine, Negro Day on the Corny Collins show, which is so jarring to hear. And I think that's the point.
Yeah.
That's just like, we live in a country that, like, at one point this was the reality and
not
we can't
that
forget
long
that.
Ago also.
Like, very much not that long ago.
No, this was like just before, like, this was like the year a couple years before my mom was born, like,
one
not
year before
that long
my
ago.
Mom was born my dad was 19 no 18 so do with that what you will, but yeah.
So, okay, sorry, I did not mean to laugh.
No, it's fine. I get it. So Seaweed is a fantastic dancer, and he teaches Tracy some new dances that she has never seen before. Okay. And they're clearly very innovative and trend-setting. And then Link Larkin, the white male lead... Why do you keep doing that?
Because it's hard, like... If you haven't seen the movie, I feel like you have to distinguish, like, this person, because, like, the fact
Larkin,
that there's,
Zac Efron, let's move on.
Yeah, Zac Efron.
The Zac Efron of the Courtney Collins show. I keep wanting to say Courtney Collins. And also Tracy's biggest crush, like, oversees them. He just, like, randomly stops at their door, which seems very coincidental and handy.
Musical-esque.
Yeah, a very High School Musical. And he's impressed by Tracy dancing in detention, and he invites her to dance for Corny on the show that day. And it's like, okay, but there's also all of these black people in there who are doing a much better job than she
exactly.
does.
Exactly.
And have much more practice. And, and it's like, oh yeah, you get to do this because you're white.
100%. And, like, then there's the whole, like, thought that he's supposed to be, like, he's, like, immediately attracted to her, and, like, there's that. All
he
right.
might be. You don't know.
Sure. Exactly. I don't. But given Zac Efron's dating history, I do. At the open call, Tracy asks Seaweed if he will dance
he
with her.
He loves a brunette. What are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. Tracy asks Seaweed if he will dance with her, but he reminds her of a little thing called segregation and tells
just
her that
just a
she...
little tiny thing, not yeah, like it ruined yeah, no. any lives or anything.
Exactly. And tells her that she can borrow the dance for a little bit if she wants. So sweet. Tracy is a hit on the show, and Penny sprints by Mac's gym to Tracy's house to show her parents that Tracy has been added as a regular.
Hold on. Did you notice Mac's gym?
I did went during the daytime, not during the nighttime when you
said. I exclusively noticed it during the nighttime. I like paused and I was like, Max Gym, like this is great.
I am not related to the Max of the Max Gym. I wonder if they sell cheese. They should.
They should. It's a gym. I don't know why a gym would sell cheese. It's the only way I'd go to the gym.
That'd be like really gross though. I don't feel like I want cheese at the gym.
No, you just need cheese.
And so, leave. So it's not a gym, it's a cheese store.
There's a treadmill.
Okay, there you go. For the mouse.
Yeah.
Okay. So while Corny loves her progressive views, Velma completely despises Tracy, as well as any thought of integrating the show. On Their Words Not Ours, a Negro Day taping, Velma is outraged that host Motormouth Maybelle, Seaweed's mom, allows the girls on her show to sing the same song the white girls had previously sung, despite their having wrote the song. So I do, like, weirdly love that the writers made sure that Tracy didn't just straight steal Seaweed's dance and, like, gave them, like, this, like, little snippet scene where he, like, gives her permission. Like, I love that they're, like, advocating for anti-plagiarism, which is, like, the least of anyone's concerns about this movie, but, like, they needed that in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's, like, a whole plagiarism issue in, like, in the same, like, in the next scene.
Yeah, with it's the girls very
singing. Like, it's, like, kind of weird. Like, the writers were, this was very front of mind for them. Yes. Truly.
Yeah. So, Tracy soon receives, oh, sorry, okay. Tracy soon receives a call from Mr. Pinky to be the spokesgirl for his Hefty Hideaway boutique. There's just so many things I could say. I need to clarify, they're all related to Love Island, because the boom boom room on Love Island is called the Hideaway.
Oh, God, no. Ew. No, anyway. No. Also, the challenge premiered tonight.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. I'm probably not going to watch it. I missed last season.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry for you. You need to watch it.
They took it off so Xfinity, like, can't watch it. And I just can't be bothered, honestly.
I mean, there's Love Island people on it this season.
Oh, yeah, I forgot, but I don't care about them literally at all. When they said it was, like, Georgia from Love Island, I was so excited. And then I was like, oh, that's, like, the wrong Georgia. And then they were like, oh, it's Theo from Love Island. And I'm like, oh, that's the wrong Theo. Like, they did not get the right people.
I mean, but still, I'm excited for this, like,
get me who, it's going to be a monster disaster. Who from Love Island would I want to see on the challenge? I need to, like, think about this for a second, but I'll give you an answer in, like, 2 minutes, okay?
Sure. I am very excited for, like, Gus from Floribama Shore and, like, people like that, though. Like, Josh.
Every time from anyone Big Brother. Says, oh my God, wild. Anytime anyone says, Gus, I think of the little mouse from Cinderella.
Which is, like, kind of perfect. He's, like, a very fit version of that. Like, he's, like, very, very fit.
Oh, my God. Okay, here's a number one. The number one guy in this group, Adam Collard, 100%. Google this man, Olivia. Adam Collard, as in greens. I can't. Okay. I'll send you a photo of him to go along with your pictures of Hugh Grant and Colin Firth and Zac Efron. Where was I? Oh, I was talking about something. Oh, so the two, you know, Mr. Pinky and, what's her name? Edna Turnblad? What's her name? That's her name. They negotiate a deal and then they go out to dinner together and they run into Velma and Amber after they're wearing these, like, incredible outfits. By incredible, I also mean, like, outrageously ugly, but they're feeling themselves. And Velma and Amber just completely, like, shit on them and mock their new outfit. And it's really, honestly, it's so sad.
It is very sad. But
I was like,
I wish you wouldn't have said incredible. And by incredible, I mean, like, outrageously ugly.
I mean, it was
my God.
They weren't, like, it was not a, like, model off-duty look. It was a...
No. It was a disco ball off-duty. Exactly.
my God, that was incredible.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Okay, so the next day at school, Amber sets up Tracy to get detention, which she doesn't really mind because she gets to go hang out with the black kids.
And I did not put that in there. Okay.
You didn't, but it's like, it's so weird to me that, like, why are these kids, like, all in detention? Like, why is the only place that the black kids are in detention?
Yeah, like, and why is it that they, like, know that they're going to be in detention? Like, it's like, oh, the black kids don't go to school. They just go to detention? Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't, whatever. You know, the incarceration system in this country starts young. And you think I'm kidding, I'm not. Anyway, Amber sets Tracy up to get detention. Do you think I'll ever get through this bullet point? Tracy doesn't really mind. To the surprise of the entire class, Link stands up for Tracy, also landing himself in detention, and Seaweed invites Tracy, Link, and Penny to a gathering at his house after school, and they are flattered and feel very hip and trendy, I guess, which he's surprised by, because, you know, segregation. Oh, it's not good. I don't like it.
Okay. At the get-together, Tracy's mom, Edna, arrives to furiously take her home, but is enticed by the spread. Motormouth Maybell.
Relatable.
Motormouth Maybell sadly announces that Negro Day has been canceled by the TV station. And Tracy,
you're like, oh, great. Like, it's canceled. That means they're going to get to be regulars. Nope.
No, it's like, canceled, that's it, that's the end. And Tracy decides they should protest the queer racism. Link tells her that he's not throwing away his shot and to break up.
I can't.
Okay. I definitely forgot that was...
Is that a High School Musical joke? What is that even a joke in reference to?
It's a Hamilton joke.
Oh. Oh, I don't like that.
Okay, well, you know, I can only do so much with what I'm given. Meanwhile, okay. How do you not know that song from Hamilton?
I don't want to listen. Okay, this is dumb. I don't want to listen to it until I see it, and I'm never going to see
it. Oh, okay. Well, all right. I'll give you that, but, like... You gotta know that. I mean, like, not throwing away my shot. That's the whole thing. Okay. Meanwhile, Velma visits Tracy's dad's joke shop to seduce him in an effort to get Tracy off the show. Weird flex, Velma, but okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, because she fails.
And, like, it's weird. Like, it really doesn't make sense to me, but okay, whatever.
Literally not at all.
Yeah, you know, what do you do? Obviously, they were really in tune with what was necessary in 1962.
Okay. 1960 in tune. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Edna walks in on the two of them, standing close, and assumes the worst. But with some convincing, she believes her husband, and they move forward stronger. So it's kind of weird that, like, I don't feel like Amber and Link, like, ever, like, officially break up. So, like, during this whole, like, detention, bus singing, and, like, friend gathering sequence, like, Tracy, like, acts as though she and Link are, like, together and is, like, very much upset when he's, like, I'm not going to go to the protest with you because, like, people are coming to see me and, like, that's what's important to me. And she, like, is devastated that, like, he's not going to do that for her. It's like, you guys aren't together, so...
I mean, what do you mean? In her head, she's hearing wedding bells.
But, like...
That whole number, I think, is...
She is,
difficult.
Like, I think what you might be pushing me to get at is that... I feel like Tracy is, like, very clearly a bit delusional, and, like, everyone in her life is, like, very much, like, feeding into that. Uh-huh. And, like, I kind of feel bad for Link, not because he is doing the wrong thing morally, but, like, he, like, just met you. Like, if I just met somebody today who is, like, hey, let's go to this, like, protest for, you know, that basically is against pretty much what you've been raised upon, like, until this point, I would, like, probably be like, I'm going to pump the brakes on this for a minute, you know, like maybe like give it a minute to think it over at least. And, you know, I can't fault him for that.
No, I don't think you can.
I don't think you can just expect everybody to just, like, full-on jump in. Like, even though it might be the right thing to do, and, like, he does come around.
Wow, spoiler alert. Did you know what I just now clicked in my head?
What?
That, like, my dad's the same age as Link Larkin.
Your dad is Link Larkin!
Wow.
Congrats. Wow.
That's all. That's all.
All right. So there's that. But yeah, I mean, I feel like they definitely try to make Link out to be like the bad guy in this scene and situation. And like, I like kind of feel bad for him because it's like, well, one, he does have this girlfriend. Like, even though you are like hardcore putting it on him, like he does have a girlfriend.
Yeah, fair.
I digress.
She's the worst, but he does.
But, like, also, Tracy's not the best, so she's very obnoxious and delusional. So maybe Link should be single for a little bit.
Maybe.
Anyway.
Okay, are you done?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so at the protest, Tracy and, incidentally, Edna march for equality. Love it. And when the police officer is rude to Maybelle, Tracy, like the idiot white person that she is, bonks him on the back of the head with her picket sign and things escalate quickly. But obviously, she's able to get away, even though she, like, incited a riot. And the news announces that Tracy has brutally assaulted a police officer and that she is officially on the run from the police. And Penny attempts to shelter her from being caught, but her insanely conservative mother, Penny's mother, finds them and ties up her daughter in her room. What? Thankfully, seaweed comes to their rescue, something that's never happened before. I hate seaweed in general. I'm not talking about the person. The person's lovely, but, like, seaweed, the worst. And the three of them escape back to Maybelle's. And in the meantime, Link arrives at the Turnblads, having realized his love for Tracy. Ugh.
And Edna cooks him some pork.
Goals.
So the next day, Tracy is able to sneak into the live taping of the Miss Hairspray pageant via a giant can of hairspray. With the help of her friends and family, she is able to upstage everyone, interrupting the results announcement by being lowered onto the stage in, like, a, like, aluminum, like, robot thing. Or, like, I don't know, whatever. Like a rocket
ship. Like a just thing. Giant can.
Yeah. And Link immediately joins her and brings Seaweed's little sister, an excellent dancer, Inez, She's onto the stage. What?
She's the best.
She is. She's good. Onto the stage, who wins over the audience and the pageant, and integrating the Courtney Collins show. Seaweed and Penny dance together on stage and kiss on TV, and Velma is caught on camera trying to rig the votes for the pageant and is fired as station manager. Courtney seemingly asks Maybelle to co-host the show.
Did you think that station manager was as funny as I did?
Station manager?
We don't need to explain why.
And Courtney seemingly asks Maybelle to co-host the show with him, and Tracy and Link finally kiss. So that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So overall comments. When the movie started, I really wanted to hate Tracy, and I can't say that I don't, but just not as much.
Yeah.
She's just so annoying. I mean, honestly,
bonking the police officer really does a lot for me in terms of not
it's
liking
like,
her.
Come on. Yeah. Oh, yeah, completely.
But,
I felt the reaction from Queen Latifah / Motormouth Maybelle was, like, very earnest in that moment. Yeah. Like, she was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Like, everything in her, like, she did. I think her line was probably, like, it was like, no, don't. But, like, she really wanted to say, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah.
So, like, I get that, like, it's great and it's hard to, like, stand up for things that, like, are right, but, like, she's still really freaking annoying. And I'm sure this is, like, very like an un, it's, this is probably a very unpopular opinion, but like we could have probably cut like all the Edna crap out and like the movie would be just as good.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And like I get that like that's like a decision that like obviously like carried over from the stage, like that was like a thing that like her mom is always played by like a cross-dressing man, and like that's great, but like I just don't feel like it adds much to the story. Like I'd rather it add to the story than
I absolutely agree with you
that, you know, I just, like I don't mind that it's like a cross-dressing man, but like I would rather it have like significance to the story. It's just like a weird subplot that like I don't care for, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like it mostly because, you know, there are only so many roles in Hollywood for like an overweight woman above a certain age. Mm-hmm. And like we're just gonna give it to a man.
A white man who like is, you know, just not even like John Goodman, you know, like a bigger white man. Like it's just John
Travolta. Not even Robin Williams. He is the only one who's allowed to play a woman.
Yeah.
So he's dead. So spoiler alert, no one's allowed to anymore.
Well, and like I think there are more important like for something that's like set in 1962, I feel like the fact that like it's a straight white man cross-dressing as it's just like a weird thing about this stage show that like there's just other things, like you're taking away from like the segregation plot point that I feel like is like very much should be and should be the central focus, and like there's nothing wrong with it and I think it's great, but like it just doesn't serve a purpose. It's just there to be there. Like it's very much like an arbitrary decision that was made for this show and movie. And like,
and now it's just again, tradition.
Yeah. And like, there's nothing wrong with it, but like you're taking away from the bigger point by doing it. And like, it's like, why can't we just like let the point be the point?
Yeah. Agreed.
But yeah. I mean, like, I know that's not like a great opinion to have, but you know, it's just, it didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, so speaking of great opinions to have, I have been spending the last couple of minutes trying to figure out who my Love Island contestants that I would like to see compete on the challenge. And I'd just like to let you know, this is definitive. Like, this is the correct answer.
Okay.
from a Love Island expert, still looking for a podcast co-host for that. The answer is Adam Collard from season 4 and Olivia from season 3.
So this guy fled the country?
No.
It says Adam Collard and Zara McDermott flee country after Fern McCann drama?
I think it's just they had a vacation scheduled.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's like
they're he's very attractive.
It's annoying.
Like, he is very attractive. And when you're watching
the show, it's also annoying.
Like, yeah.
And
yeah.
She does personal training and stuff. And that was another one of my, like, things that I had to keep in mind was, like, who are the people that could actually, like,
do well compete? At this?
And I think Olivia could. And she's also drama. And yeah. I had, like, lots of other people that I'm like, oh, I would love to see them. Would they be the best?
He reminds me a little bit of, like, Tony. Like, he looks like he could definitely be also.
I'm a lot. I don't know. I don't know.
All right.
But he's drama. He dated, like, 5 different girls in the span of, 3 weeks.
I could see how that could happen. Yeah, I could see that.
Absolutely could see how that would happen. But, yeah.
Yeah, he's very attractive.
I say, oh, they need to be people that can compete, but the Georgia that they picked, like, her career on this is listed as personal assistant. So.
Yeah, I don't have high hopes for her. She seems, like, very... Well, and, like, when she was introducing herself, she's like, my hope She's like, my hope for this show for me is to, like, not only win money, but to have, like, an all-around experience. And no, like, to me, that's
the goal for these people, honestly, should be to, like, bring in an American fan base.
Like, well, and, like, I felt like it was her saying,
if they do well on Love Island, like, the girl who won Love Island has, like, 3 million Instagram followers. Like,
yeah,
it's no joke, like, how famous you become. Like, she had a famous dad already and all that stuff. But, like, Love Island in the UK is really a springboard into, like, immediate success and immediate fame. And it's, like, I feel like it should be attractive. Apparently it's not. Like, I'm sure that they're just making so much money that they don't want to take the time off to go do this. But I feel like it would be kind of, like, a prestige thing to just, like, be on MTV, to be on, yeah, like,
on the American, like, the original television. Yeah, the original MTV. Well, and I feel like when someone says I'm not here just for the money, I'm here for the experience, it's like, okay, so I know I'm not going to win the money, so I'm here for the Instagram follows, you know? And, like, and then she also said, like, I'm known for being weak and for people walking all over me. I'm like, what?
No, that's not true, because she's not known.
Okay, but I mean, like, to come on a show like The Challenge, especially this season, where, like, everyone is like, half of these people have freaking competed in the Olympics or something comparable. Like, they are not even the Challenge people, the new people that they're bringing on are, like, Olympic athletes and shit like that. And they're all personal trainers at the minimum. They, like, literally spend their lives working out and, like, competing for shit. And then the other people have done this show at least 5 times. So they do this show for a living. To come on and, like, the first words out of your mouth be, I'm known for being weak, is, like, not good. Like, bad karma. Like, no one wants to partner with you. No one wants to, like, that is, like, the worst thing you could say.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, true. That's my opinion.
Great.
That's my opinion. That's my opinion. Tamra Judge.
Incredible. So, for me, it's mine, because I don't watch Real Housewives.
Oh my God, it's the best. Oh my God.
Who's your
it's
character
just the
to
best.
Keep an eye on?
My character to keep an eye on is actually Corny Collins, because I think for someone in his role, he very easily could have, like, completely just done exactly what Velma wanted and, like, just gone along with it. And, like, he very much, like, took a stance and was like, nah, we're going to integrate. Like, this is, he, like, liked Tracy, like, and he liked that she was, like, very progressive. And I liked him. I think he was good. And I like James Marsden.
I didn't write down who this was, and I'm Googling real quick because I don't remember what her name. Little Inez was my fave. Like, Seaweed's little sister stole the show. She was so good. And that's my answer. I'm sticking to it. What's your rating? I know mine.
Okay, you go first.
My rating...
Okay, I know mine.
Is a 4.
Okay. I'm at a 3.5.
Okay. So I was like, Olivia's either going to think I'm crazy or it's going to be fairly close. I say this because I feel like the show Hairspray has a lot of prestige, obviously. That's like why they made the movie. But also, I think this movie has a lot of prestige. Like, the cast is great, and I don't think that it's something that people are like, oh my God, they ruined Hairspray. Like, I think it's something that people are like, yeah, it's a faithful adaptation, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I think they did a good
job. And that says
a lot.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, I think they did a good job considering, like, how beloved the show is.
Yeah, like, people are very attached to it, and to do even a marginally good job...
Yeah, because you're walking in, like, basically, like, with one hand behind your back sort of thing. Like, you are set up to fail, essentially, from the jump. Yeah, so 3.75. Trying to see if there's anything. High School Musical Senior Year, it has the same rating as. And I think that might be it.
Cool.
Oh, and Step Up.
Okay. Honestly, both of those make sense to me.
Yeah, weirdly, both movies we have referenced in this last
podcast. Yeah, comparisons for sure. So, yeah.
Like, enjoyable, but not, like, the best movie in the, you know, like, no. Not bad, but not, like, something I would, like, be really upset at watching again.
Hey, Brody.
He's been asleep this entire time, and now I he's just like, shake. Let me get up in your face.
Oh, what's the temperature over there?
I think it's, like, 7 degrees, something like that. Wind chill, like, -4.
We have that times 10 today.
Guess how many times I've been outside today?
0.
Yeah. Hard 0. Boom, boom. There you go. Brody's been outside twice, but that's because that's where he uses the bathroom, so.
Yeah, but, like, that's how many times he went outside a day when you lived in L.A., so.
No, completely, and, like, he is, he wants nothing to.
Oh, my God,
Brody, God damn. He is, like, at the end of my bed. He's nowhere close to this. I was going to put him in the other room, but I'm like, he won't, like, bump into anything. He's tired. Fuck me, right? But, yeah. Wow. Yeah, he is, he, you know, goes outside and he uses the bathroom as quickly as possible and sprints back inside. And he wears his coat like he is.
It takes a lot to get Brody to sprint.
He is not about the cold life. He's over it. So
he would go to Mac's gym only if there was cheese.
Truly. Truly.
Okay.
All right. So, we'll let you know what next week is going to be.
We're no, we decided. We decided what next week's going to be.
Oh, we did? Okay, I didn't know if you had decided.
Oh, I did. That. I did. I was like, yeah, that's fine.
So, next week we will be doing 10 things I... How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, we're just mashing them up.
Yeah.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
And then I know what we're doing the week after, too.
We do?
Yeah.
Okay. What is it?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
After. I don't want people to know. I don't want the spoilers.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So go to tbtmp.com for everything you need to know about the show. Rate and review us on the Apple Podcast app. Follow us on Instagram. I am at Miranda John Zun. The show is at TBT Podcast.
And I am at Mac is Cheesy.
Yes. And tell a friend.
Yeah. All right. Give us 5 stars.
Honestly, tell a friend.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Okay.